Hey, everybody. Trust you're well. It's great to have you on board this week again. And I know that you're going to be blessed with the Word of God. This is the C3 Church Global Podcast. And I'm Phil Pringle, and I'm looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Hey, also hit that subscribe button so that you'll get notification when there's a new message every week turning up in your inbox. And give us a review, rate us so that we know how we're doing and how we can improve. God bless you. Let's go to the Word. I got to tell you, I'm really excited to be bringing this message to you because I believe it's a great message of hope. And in this series of Faith, Hope, Love, I am concentrating on that word hope a lot, knowing that God is the God of hope and that when you're in contact with Him, you're in contact with a positive future. And so this scripture, Philippians 4:19, says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." All through the Bible, you have this amazing history of God looking after His people. If God is anything, He is a provider, and He provides abundantly in such beautiful and magnificent ways. And often it was, when I say magnificent, it was miraculous, supernatural, out of the ordinary provision. That's not the only way God provides. He also provides through us being diligent, disciplined, hardworking. But first, let's just go through the God factor in provision and remember some of the incredible things that He has done. When the Israelites were walking for 40 years through a desert, had no water supply, 3 million people, where'd the water come from? God made sure that Moses had a miraculous supply of water coming out of rocks. And the river was not small. It would have to be a big river for that many people. Some have estimated it would be 8 foot wide by 4 foot deep, constantly flowing. So they would create a huge dam wherever the camp would move to. And then they'd move on to another place and that water would flow out of the rocks again. Bread came every morning, fell from heaven, and it would be on the ground. Manna, they called it. The word manna means, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. They said, what is it? And so they called it that, unusual. But for 40 years, that bread was every morning on the ground, except for the Sabbath, and there would be none then. So some have said, it can be naturally explained, but I'm not sure if it can be, because for one day it didn't happen and it was the same day every week. Meat fell from the skies. The Israelites were saying, "Hey, we're sick of this bread. We want some meat." So God says, "I'll give you meat then." And they said, "How could you provide meat in a wilderness?" Well, it was the time of the birds flying south for winter. And so they're flying along and this strong wind blows them all off course. They run out of steam over the desert, just where the Israelites are, fall out of the sky, and they're up to their knees in quail meat. They couldn't eat it all. And so God can do anything. He can just do anything. Nothing's impossible with God. All things are possible with Him. Their clothes didn't wear out. Not great news for the ladies, but they're wearing the same thing over that 40-year period, but at least they had clothes and the clothes didn't wear out. Their sandals didn't wear out. Then you move on through scripture. There's so many of these stories. There was a prophet who prayed. His name was Elijah. One of the greatest prophets ever. Brought fire out of heaven on Mount Carmel. But while there was a drought, God said to them, "Go down to this brook called Cherith, and I've commanded ravens to feed you there." Raven, birds, flying in with meat in their mouth. Well, he's sitting there, got the table out, got the linen, the knife and fork, salt and pepper, barbecue sauce, whatever. Sitting there, morning and evening, in comes the Raven Express. Uber thinks that they've started the Uber Eats thing. God was doing this years before. And these are ravens. Now, you and I both know that birds birds like that are selfish birds. They're not going to give their meat away to anybody. They're not about to share what they've got in their mouth. But he'd be sitting there, in comes the steak, in comes the cheesecake, in comes the, probably stolen from the Philistines' ovens and dinner tables where there was no drought. But these birds bring it in. God can do anything. God can do anything. And so the woman with a flask of oil, she had nothing left in her house. And she'd sold everything because she owed somebody some money. Her husband had died and he had left a big debt. And he was not just a Christian like guy, he was a minister. And he had run up this big debt and now he died and his wife was left. And it was legit that the creditor could come and take the children and sell them as slaves to satisfy the debt. So she's desperate. So she runs to the prophet Elisha and says, "Could you please help me?" And he says, "What have you got?" She says, I got nothing." She's expecting something to come from the prophet, but he says, "No, I need to know what you've got." And so she told him, "I only got this silly little flask of oil." Well, he said, "Go borrow pots, borrow them from everywhere, empty ones, empty vessels, bring them into your house and start pouring." So she started pouring out of that flask. And when she poured out of what she had, it just didn't stop. It's a bit like God. As God keeps pouring into our lives, we're not accessing a limited resource. God is unlimited. God has no limits, zero limits. He's God. And He has an eternal supply of whatever it is we need. And He can bring it to earth when we just are prepared to step out in faith. Jesus provides wine at a wedding. it's a unusual way to start your ministry. The first miracle you do, you think it'll be a healing or raise somebody from the dead, but it's bring some wine at a wedding for his mother's concern for the host. And you know, this is a really amazing story for me in the sense that, number one, he provides wine at a wedding when they've run out. Okay. And he provides 180 gallons of wine. When you add up the numbers there, it's 180 gallons. What are you going to do with that much wine at the start of a wedding feast? This was the end of a wedding feast. And it wasn't just ordinary throwaway wine. It was the best. It was the best wine that the master of ceremonies had ever tasted. And he said, so the bridegroom brings it to him to test, because that was the courteous thing you did. And he said, "Wow, you're different to all the other guys. Normally, they bring out the best wine first and then bring out the bad wine when everybody can't tell the difference." And Jesus just left it at that. And I thought, this is amazing, because the guy is a cheapskate. The bridegroom was too cheap to buy enough wine for the entire feast. He ran out. They didn't have enough. But then Jesus solves the problem for him, saves him the embarrassment, and it actually enhances the image of this guy. And he doesn't say, no, he didn't do that, I did that. Jesus just leaves it like that. And that's what he does for every one of us. He does things for us that help us appear better than we are, that make us feel like we are better than we are, and helps us do things better than we could. He gives us gifts and callings and abilities to be better than we are. The best version of ourselves is discovered in Jesus. And so he provided bread and fish twice for vast multitudes of people. He provided money for his disciples to pay tax. He provided a fisherman who was not doing well. His business was a disaster. It was, he'd worked hard all night and caught nothing. So he was going empty-handed to the fish markets. But then Jesus got involved and said, "Throw your net over that side." And so he did. And he got a catch that split the net. And when they filled the boat, it started to sink. So they had to call another. The biggest catch he had ever had in his life came once he invited Jesus into his business, into his finances, into his world where he had failed. And finally, Christ comes in. That is what Jesus Christ is to us. Some people think of Jesus as this miserly, withholding killjoy. No, he provided abundance. He didn't just provide, he provided abundance wherever he went. And I believe that in this time when we are seeing so many businesses have been shut down, put off staff, you may have lost your job, you may be facing terrible, terrible circumstances. And that's why I was encouraged to share this message, because no matter what you're going through, it's not too hard for God. It's not bigger than His ability. It's not impossible for Him to come into your world and supply all your need, just like we spoke in that scripture. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If God is anything, He is Jehovah Jireh, the provider of an abundance in our lives. And I would say that it's the money issue, sometimes even more so than the medical issues, the virus issue that we're facing, the finance issues that people are going to be facing in this time are going to be a leading cause of deep anxiety and anger, angst, and fretting. And so I pray that you bring Christ into your life to help you with your finances, and believe with me, I'm going to believe with you, that we'll all get through this because Christ is with us in the boat. We've invited Him in, and He is that provider. We've lived in an age where the average Australian spends 35% more than they earn. So that's inevitably going to be a problem. That's over 80% of us in Australia. And so right now we are learning new ways. And I wanted to talk a bit about that, because there is another scripture in Deuteronomy 8 verse 18, which says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day." So this is saying, remember God, because it is He who gives you power to get wealth. It does not say it is He who gives you wealth. It just doesn't come into our lives without us getting involved. We get involved in the process. He gives us the power, though. If we make the decision to access that power, we will find ourselves with an ability to generate income that is equal to our needs and even more so than that, so that we have an abundance to give to other people. This power activates when we get active. Whenever Jesus healed the sick or did anything, He told people to go and do something. He told the fishermen, go out and let down your nets. He told, when He wanted the temple tax, He said, go catch a fish. You're going to find the tax is in its mouth. And so always there is this miraculous element happening when people start to do something rather than sitting down in deep discouragement and despair. He just encouraged them, rise up and start to do something, and you're going to find that you will reduce your debts. You might be thinking your debts are too big to even begin to worry about them. You know, you move a mountain one stone at a time. And you'll be surprised that if you just keep regularly moving one stone at a time, rather than spending that chunk of money on something that's temporal or just something that's just going to go away, something that's frivolous, take it and stick it on your debt. And you'll find that as you do that on a regular basis, it's the tortoise and the hare, it's the David and Goliath, it's all of those, just little by little, taking your steps, you're going to find that when you do your little thing, cast that stone against the giant, as you just keep steadily plodding along, you will find you'll actually defeat that thing. And the sense of victory will be yours. I mean, two areas that are like this are very similar and require the same kind of discipline. Losing weight, making money. Oh, but both require discipline. It's easy to put on extra weight, so hard to put it off, to get it off. It's easy to lose money, to spend money, more difficult to actually make it. So when we put disciplines on these two areas of our lives, and we're talking about finances here, you got to understand that it's going to take several issues for us to address in our character sometimes. It's going to take diligence, regularly applying ourselves to a constant habit of discipline that will achieve the desired results. It's not just random, occasional efforts at the thing. We actually have to be consistent and constant at making a difference to our financial status and to our provision status. A guy called James Moffat once said, "A man's treatment of money is the most decisive test of his character, how he makes it and how he spends it." Money's powerful. It needs strong management. Jesus, when he came, he one of the things he said, I'm announcing the year of Jubilee. I'm anointed to bring the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee was when everyone was released from their debts in the nation of Israel every 50 years. It was like a new chance at life, once a lifetime. So I just want to give you quickly in closing, four keys to creating a healthy financial lifestyle where provision will be not just meeting your needs, but abundant in your life. Number one, commit to it. Find the switch of decision and say, I am determined to make this happen. Once you get determined, once you get a commitment in yourself, it will shape and modify the way you live, what you spend on, what you don't spend on. I know young couples in our congregation who have committed themselves to live on a shoestring budget. And that is not to exceed spending more than $2 per meal. Wow. And they said, we can make coffee at home. We don't need to spend $6, you know, out there and somewhere else every day of the week. And we don't need to have this subscription and that subscription and that subscription to things online or on television. There's so many things we think we need, but actually maybe we don't. And so some disciplines, I'm not saying live in a completely ascetic lifestyle where we don't enjoy life at all, but I'm saying if we can combine generosity and hard work and frugality together, that's a recipe for seeing provision in our lives. God gives us power to create wealth, and that will be have a cumulative effect. It will accumulate in our world, and exponentially, you're just going to find yourself soaring out of whatever debt has buried you in the past. Make the commitment. Get determined. The second one is discipline. Make sure you've got that habit happening in your life every day. A decision must be followed by discipline. The world lies at the feet of a disciplined person. No dream comes to pass without discipline to actually see it come into fruition. Your dreams will happen because you're disciplined towards making them happen. No Olympic medalist has won a gold medal because they just practiced whenever they wanted to. They were up at 4 a.m, swimming those lengths, running the beach, doing the triathlons. We win in life when we make a decision that's followed through with discipline. And you are that person. You definitely are a winner. I know, because you, right at conception, you won that race, that original race, and you are born in the image of God. You are created in the image of God, and He rose from the dead. Nothing could keep Him down. So I know I am speaking to a winner here today. And number three, live by budgets. Set a budget and then live by that. Don't change it. And that will force you to negotiate a better price on something or to keep searching until you find something that's within that bracket. So if you're going to buy a car, put a number on how much you're going to spend. Bike, how much you're going to spend, whatever it is. And then if you find something that's going to cost you twice that, don't splash out. Keep looking. Keep trying. Now, I believe that if you can actually live by budgets, that's the holy grail of financial health. Because then you're going to find yourself developing character instead of wasting money. And you develop abilities and negotiating skills. And you develop all these areas. And remember that scripture, it is God who gives you power to get wealth. And I am believing that we will emerge from this virus situation all around the planet better than we went into it. And I know that you will. I know that the power of God is going to help you. And so right now, as we come to an end and we remember that particular miracle that I spoke of earlier on, where Elisha told the woman to start pouring out what she had, it was a little flask of oil. And I'm amazed at how many people have talent in their life, but have never actually used it. And the trouble with us is that we think our talent is less than anybody else's. We wish we had that one, not our one. We wish that we were like them, not like us. Look what they've done. But the funny thing is, when we bury it, we find ourselves frustrated because there's something deep within us that we know we can do. We can write a book. We can read a book. We can create a podcast. We could do sound recording. I mean, there's just, I can guarantee you, there's something in every one of our lives. I know in my life there are times when I felt exactly what I'm talking about. And you tend to bury your talent. I'm going to ask you to dig it up today. Dig up that gift. Dig up that talent. You got a songwriting skill. You write poetry. You paint pictures. You do inventions. You create little movies. You're good with gardens. I'm not good with gardens. Plants cry when I buy them and take them home. They know they're going to plant heaven. It's like, they just won't live for a while. They'll live for a little while and that's it. The point is, you and I all are gifted in some areas and not in others, but we should identify that here today and know what God has given us in our lives that empowers us to generate income. Let me pray for you today that you would receive into your life Christ and His gifting and His power. And if you've buried your gift, please make the commitment to dig it up again. If you've never received Jesus, pray this prayer with me right now. And if you're coming back to Christ, please also. And if you're wanting to make sure you're going to heaven, let's just pray this together. It's a short prayer. If you're in a situation where it's a little awkward, that's okay. Just say it under your breath and think the prayer to God. But I want you to look to Him, because He can supernaturally get involved in your life and supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Let's pray this prayer. Dear God in heaven, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my life. I ask to be born again. Cleanse me from all sin. Make me your child. Help me follow you. Thank you, God, for saving me. Amen. I'm so thrilled you prayed that prayer. And if you did, please follow the QR code on the screen. Just hold your camera up and it'll take you to that website, or else contact us. Make sure you talk in the live chat with somebody, with the online pastor. And I just want to finish by praying for everybody out there who is struggling with mountains of debt, very worried about how they're ever going to make it through this, worried about whether you're going to hold on to your house. As I'm sitting here, I'm feeling the burden of people who are concerned about losing their homes. And some of you who are in the last throes of being foreclosed on. At times like this, we've got to reach out to God. Let's not blame Him. Let's praise Him and thank Him for answers. So Lord, I pray for every viewer of this service. And I pray for the peace of God to fill our heart and mind. I pray for your presence to fill the room. I pray for miracles to begin happening in their life as they turn that switch on and determine, we are going to beat this thing. As they find that switch of decision and faith, say, I believe that we can do this. We can buy a house. We can hold on to our house. We can pay our bills. We can get through this challenge. And I know that somehow, some way, Father, you'll put faith in people's hearts today. You'll give them power that they might generate the level of income they need and even more. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Don't forget to stay behind and linger with us in the chat room and talk to one another, talk to the pastors. I also want to pray for people who are facing medical conditions and you're struggling with your physical circumstances in some way. So let me pray right now. You know, while I'm here, I'm wanting to pray specifically for people who are struggling with migraines and you're finding that you're completely overwhelmed. You're lying in a black room. I see you lying in a black room and just wanting all the curtains to be drawn. You can't stand any noise. You can't stand any light. And you're vomiting with the illness of the pain of it all. I know that there's a God in heaven who's bigger than any illness that you and I face. And He has brought healing to us through the work of Jesus on the cross. Anybody who's facing any medical issues, as I pray right now, I believe that healing power can come into your world as you reach out to God. Heavenly Father, I pray. We don't pray in vain. We don't pray futile prayers just for the sake of religiosity, but we pray believing that people will actually be healed by the power of heaven. Where medicine has not been able to bring us a solution, I believe that right now people are being healed. I pray for people with eye conditions where they are finding blindness is coming into their eyes, people with sugar diabetes. I pray, Father, right now that healing would come into their body. Lord Jesus, anybody who's there with a spinal problem, where there is pain, they can't lie down, they can't sit down, they find it very difficult to get comfortable in any position at all. I know that right now, healing can come to them in the name of Jesus. I also pray, Father, for marriages. I pray for every couple that are struggling in their relationship right now. Dear Lord, help us all have melted hearts. Help us get through seeing the negatives. Help us grasp a hold of faith in one another and recover that love. I pray for healing in Jesus' name to every relationship today. Help them talk together, forgive each other, and move on. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, everybody, that's it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm looking forward to sharing the Word of God again with you next week. Why don't you send a review in? Help us do better. Let us know how we're doing. And you can follow myself at Phil Pringle on Instagram, or Chris, my wife, at Chris A. Pringle on Instagram. And you can tag a friend and we can spread the word around the world. God bless you. You have a great day.